feel it.
Artlist IO.
Every single day I feel the pressure. Double up the work, let's make it extra. Working so my mother get a rest, yeah. Working like I never know I'm blessed, yeah. Every single day I feel the pressure.
Let's go. We're back in That One Studio on the What Are You Made Of show. It's your boy C-Rock in the building. Thank you for joining us today for another great show, great guest. We're going to continue to bring you a variety of topics and a variety of genres in our guests. But more importantly than anything, we want to find out what went into making them who they are and why they're doing what they're doing so that you all know when you go on a journey to success that when you run into a discouragement, a letdown, things don't work out the way you want them or as fast as you want them, you're not alone. All the time when we go through this, it feels like we're alone or it feels like permanent. It's not. And that's why I want to keep exposing this invisible journey to success. And today's no different. I have my friend Emily Kyle in the building. She's an award-winning registered dietitian, five-time published author, and certified holistic cannabis practitioner. She teaches people how to use cannabis to reclaim their lives from the crippling hold of day-to-day anxiety or pain, allowing them to find joy, enhance their productivity, improve their relationships, and naturally support their overall health and well-being. Emily, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. Thank you for being here. So we start this show the same way every time, and that is with this question on the wall behind me. What are you made of?
Sunshine, rainbows, and a lot of cannabis.
Okay. Now, cannabis, when you talk about cannabis, do you talk about CBD or do you also dive into the THC part of it?
Well, that's exactly what I love educating people about is, you know, the word cannabis is really an umbrella term, just like when we say food or diet. Well, we know there's a lot that goes into that. And so CBD is absolutely a part of it. THC is absolutely a part of it. And really my role is providing that education for people so that they know what is right for them, because I do believe that cannabis can work for everybody, but not all in the same way. We're all very unique, very different. And so learning how to use cannabis is about really the education first and understanding the differences between things like CBD and THC.
Yeah. And did you smoke before the show? Because I can't tell from your eyes. I don't see any bloodshot or anything, but no, I'm just kidding.
I use cannabis frequently throughout the day.
Okay. So anyway, I've used cannabis myself too, but not anymore. I quit because of the fact that, and I love talking about this topic because there's a time where it can be used as a tool, and there's also a crutch mechanism, right? Yes, and a control mechanism. And so what I found was, and I always heard this as a kid, we're talking about the drug part of it now. We're going to get this out of the way.
Yeah.
I heard of it as a kid was that it's a gateway drug, right? And they taught us this and it really created a bad connotation on it and basically put a blanket over the whole thing. And so I smoked anyway, for some reason, anyway, even hearing that as a kid, as I got to college, I started smoking and it did lead to other things for me. Now I'm not saying so it led to other things. I started partying. I started looking for, this is what happened, by the way, Emily. They said it was bad and you shouldn't do it. And I did it and I didn't really feel anything that would really was that bad. So I'm like, well, they must have been lying about cocaine and ecstasy and mushrooms. And so this is like the rationale that I used as a young kid when my brain wasn't developed all the way. But nonetheless, I stopped because of that. I was using it for those things. And so I just want to get this out in the open with you and talking about this, like, how are you reversing that negative connotation when it comes to cannabis?
Yeah. So a lot of the work that I do is talking about how cannabis can be a gateway, absolutely, but a gateway to a healthy lifestyle. And when you're using cannabis correctly, it's not always about getting high. And for a lot of people, that's a really hard concept to think about because for so long, all we've ever thought of is cannabis and getting high. And THC is just one of over 100 cannabinoids that are in the cannabis plant. And we know that the other cannabinoids that don't make us high have health benefits, whether it be for inflammation or anxiety. And so there are so many ways to use cannabis and remove the THC if you wish. But if you have severe pain, if you have severe anxiety, you can baby step in that THC and learn how to use it in a way that makes you feel. And so this is where we get into the gateway of feeling better. Of once you are able to alleviate crippling pain or anxiety, you are able to progress in your life in such a different way because you are pain-free or because you are anxiety-free. And so what I see is so many people who learn to feel better with this natural plant-based medicine that they are inspired to move more. and to exercise more and to develop this healthy lifestyle. And that snowballs into eating healthier and really kind of honing in on my sleep, my alcohol consumption, and really overall rounding out a healthy lifestyle and showing that cannabis can be a gateway in a positive way as well.
Yeah, it's just like anything, really. There's a dichotomy here, right? A dichotomy of, okay, it can make you, you know, allow you to work out, move more, eat healthier. But there's also the other side, and this is what people are trying to get over, right? And it's starting to become more clear of if it can increase anxiety, it can make you hungry. Yeah. And I used to raid the cabinets because I was doing it the wrong way, right? So everything can be good and it could be bad. It's just like quitting something. Quitting, that self-quitting is not a bad thing. It's what you quit is the bad thing. So cannabis isn't a bad thing. It's how you use it and what you're using it for. So why is this such a passion for you? Like, where did this all start? What's the story, Emily?
So it started when I was about 17, 18 years old. I, you know, went to college on my own, fell hard into partying, dropped out, went back to live with my parents, rock bottom, worst point of my life. I didn't know where to go. And I didn't realize that having such bad anxiety and depression was what was holding me back from being successful. And so at the time at rock bottom, I was introduced to cannabis. And we know it can go two ways, right? It can either lead to other things, or in my case, it gave me a way to control my anxiety and to control my depression. And I ultimately ended up feeling so much better that I was able to go back to college. I put myself through school. I became a registered dietitian. I ended up doing all of these incredible things. And that was because I found cannabis, and it was a gateway for me to do bigger and better things in my life. And so I know it's not always the same, but there are a lot of people who are just like me who find cannabis and find it to be the solution that they've been looking for. And when I started, I hid the fact that I used cannabis like nobody's business. I was the closet stoner. I mean, in college, if I had ever found out that anyone knew that I used cannabis, I would be dead. And so when I ended up graduating from college, I went and got a job in a hospital as a registered dietitian, that traditional career path. And I continued to hide that for so long. I hid that part of me. And that was really, really difficult. But, you know, society is still very judgmental. There is a huge stigma against cannabis users. And for so long, even though I felt better, even though I was such a more productive individual, I felt like a loser and I didn't want to share that with anybody.
And so how do you keep it from like, hey, I just want to get stoned and I just want to like, or just, I just want to chill, or, you know, the old things that we used to do back in the day, like how do you draw the line for yourself? Or is it that, hey, I like to use it for that? Like, it's like some people have a glass of wine when they come home, you know what I mean? But is that healthy? I don't know.
Right. And so I guess as a dietitian, I like to break it down into foods, right? There's different kinds of foods that we can consume on a daily basis. And there's different kinds of cannabis that we can consume on a daily basis. So if I'm looking for productivity in my day, I like to focus on the cannabinoid CBG. But just as if I were looking to, you know, have a healthier day, I'd be picking a salad. Now, I could also pick to go to McDonald's through the drive-thru, just like I could also pick to vape THC and sit on the couch. But having the education I have, I know that I have choices when it comes to cannabis, and what I choose will ultimately affect how I feel. And so again, it's like, it's making the choices that you make to eat food. What choices are you making? What is the outcome that you want to get? Because if you have the education, you know that you have a great deal of control over how you use cannabis. We know that smoking is not the only way to consume it, and that THC is not the only cannabinoid to consume. So once you have that foundational education, like I do, I'm like, I don't need to smoke before I come on a podcast, maybe just a CBG gummy to help me feel centered and focused. But having so many different options, so many people think cannabis is just smoking a pipe and being done with it, when really there are just, it's a world of options out there once you get down the rabbit hole.
And what is CBG? I never even heard of it. I'm not educated as much as I think I am.
Yeah, so CBG, cannabigerol, they call it the mother cannabinoid. It exists before in the plant, before it turns into CBD or THC. And it's a non-intoxicating cannabinoid. And a lot of people are really focusing on it for energy and focus throughout the day. I can't tell you how many people are trying it for ADHD and seeing a lot of great results. But again, it doesn't make you high. And so if you know what you're doing, you know, hey, I'm going to go on a podcast. I want some energy and some focus. A CBG gummy is a much better option than choosing a THC puff. And that's going to give me, I know, what I need for my personality and my personal body. And we can get into the endocannabinoid system if you want, but we all have our unique endocannabinoid systems that react to cannabis differently. And so I know when I consume CBG, my endocannabinoid system makes me feel like this. And that's why I think, again, it's like food. We all have choices. You can choose the McDonald's or you could choose the salad. It's up to you.
And so what was that word you used? Your endocannabinoid situation?
Yes. Yes, so we all have an endocannabinoid system, and this is really the foundation of why cannabis works within our body. So this system is just like our cardiovascular system, our immune system. We all have one, and it's this system made up of network messengers and receptors in our bodies. And so when we consume cannabis, those cannabinoids go into these receptors on our bodies, and these receptors are on just about every cell in the body, immune systems. And that's why cannabis works in so many different ways. Like if you put it right on your skin, it works. That's because you have cannabinoid receptors directly on the skin. And so our bodies actually also make their own cannabinoids. We have anandamide and 2-AG. And so just like people talk about serotonin and being able to control these things within our bodies, that's how cannabis works as well. And so when we're supplementing with cannabis, we're stimulating our endocannabinoid systems. And just like our own immune systems, they're all very different person to person. And that's why cannabis affects each person so differently. And that's why each person has such a unique tolerance to THC, and that we can all experience such different experiences when we consume the same thing.
So thank you for that. So then going into when we were smoking back in the day, right, or doing other drugs, eventually your body becomes more resistant to it, or you get a higher tolerance. Is that across the board with all cannabis products, or is it just the THC that happens?
Well, it's interesting. We don't really know quite for sure, but we do know absolutely you get sensitization to those THC receptors. Now, the THC receptors, when you consume CBD, they can alter. And so these cannabinoids all work together differently in the body as well. And so we are so far behind the science of what we need to know. We are just at the very tip surface of what science actually knows. And again, cannabis is still on the Schedule 1 federal prohibited substance list, which means that there can be no federal funding for research studies. And so these are amazing things that hopefully one day we can all have more concrete answers on, because to know that this system exists, but most people don't even know about it in their own bodies, we're just so far behind where we could be.
Yeah, definitely. And how do you determine the endocannabis system you have, or the type that you have? Is there a test that you take, like, or is it trial and error?
It's more like your own personal tolerance. And that's the hardest part about for people with cannabis, is so many people are like, you know, hey, if you give me a chocolate bar from Hershey's, it's going to be the same chocolate bar every single time. And I know what the experience is going to be every single time. Well, cannabis is so different because there's so many different cannabinoids. We could have different dosages, but your body, your own systems can interpret things differently as well. Like imagine your immune system. If you're feeling well, it operates well, but if you're feeling unwell, it operates differently. Well, your endocannabinoid system is the same. If your body is under stress, it's going to operate differently. And so that's where the real complexities get. So many people are like, I just want the answer. Make cannabis work for me. But it really is so much trial and error of finding out what works with your body specifically and what doesn't.
And so with what you do and being a dietitian, have you seen benefits of getting high part? Is there benefits to that?
It really depends on the person, but in cases of extreme pain and in case of extreme stress, I mean, we all know that stress reduction is a very important piece in our healthy lifestyle. And if you are, imagine a 60-year-old war vet who just wants to release the pain and also enjoys the feeling of being high so that he can sit there and have a conversation with his wife. I don't think there should be anything wrong with that, as long as he is doing his daily duties and he, you know, everything else in life is taken care of. I do think that there is a place and time for people to be high and enjoy the feeling of being high, just like there's a place and a time for people to enjoy a cocktail after work and enjoy that as responsibly as well.
Yeah, as long as it doesn't lead to blowing lines or something and staying up all night. Back in the day.
And I mean, I've used cannabis for over 12 years. I've never tried any other drug. Now, I will say that's because I liked cannabis so much that I was like, I shouldn't try anything else because I'll like it. But, you know, each person has their own line of if what is acceptable.
Well, I remember, like, I remember going to Vegas when it became recreational in Vegas, and I was like, oh, this is like Kid in a Candy Store. You know, I went to, I think it was called Planet something there, 13 or something. Yeah. And I'm like, I can't believe you have this stuff out here. This is just like the candy kitchen down at the beach. And it was so fun. And then now lately when I go, I don't do it anymore. And it's like, I feel like it's weird because I feel like I'm like boring now. Now that I don't, I still drink occasionally, not a lot, but like I don't. Right. So it's just funny how that is. Like I just felt like, man, I don't know. I'm not that interesting anymore. So anyway, all right. I wanted to talk to you about when we were I was going off of something with this. I had another question. Hold on 1 second. Let me think about this. So, I know what it is. So can cannabis help people lose weight?
So let me think of how to say this. It can be a tool to aid in weight loss. Yes. Can smoking weed make you lose weight? No. Can smoking weed influence what you put in your mouth? Yes. Can smoking weed influence your desire to work out? Yes. It's very unique to each person. Now, I will say personally, this past year, I've lost 50 pounds myself using cannabis every single day. Thank you so much.
50 pounds? You know, how long did it take you to lose 50 pounds?
It took a year. And I use cannabis every day. And I really want to tell people that it had nothing to do with the cannabis. It had everything to do with my discipline and my other activities. However, the cannabis didn't hinder me, and the cannabis didn't make me raid the fridge every night. I really want to show people that there is an absolute healthy balance, but you have to know yourself really well too. You know, just like when we all adopt a fitness routine, it has to be very unique to you and your lifestyle and your personality. Otherwise, you're not going to stick with it. And I think the same is for cannabis. It works for some people and it doesn't work for others, and that's okay.
So take us through this journey for a second. So what made you decide to go on a journey of losing weight and getting to a different body composition, let's say, right? Like what catalyze that, and then take us through the journey of that.
Yeah, you know, as most women do, we have children and gain weight. And so my youngest is now, he's almost 3. And so it was just the right time. You know, I was done breastfeeding and I was ready to take my body back. And I know I'm not having any more kids, so that made it a lot easier to commit. And being a registered dietitian, I know what to do. I know that it was a discipline thing for me. And so it was really easy. Just once I got in the groove of this is what works for me, I'm going to keep doing this. And it's a lot of little different things. It's not one thing. It's a lot of little different things all put together. And a lot of, you know, ignoring the outside world of what the world says you should do and really being like, what do I need? What does my body like? And what does my lifestyle look like? And does it fit in my lifestyle?
Yeah. Yeah. And so are you still on the journey, or are you maintaining now?
I'm on the journey. I am on so I'm getting ready for this big world trip to Australia, and I've got 65 days left to go. So I'm like in my final cut phase, getting really, really ready, because we're stopping at Tahiti on the way. And I just have this vision of myself in a bikini in Tahiti, and I know what I want it to look like. So awesome. I like having a vision.
I love it. Well, that's it. That's exactly it. Like what you intend to do, you'll start paying attention to, and then you can create whatever you want. So I wanted to ask a question on that. Was man, I keep losing my train of thought because I have so many questions about this. Remind me to not forget about fasting. I want to ask you about fasting. Okay. But I want to talk to you about, so how did you set that goal and that vision? Was it like a certain pound level, or of the way it looked, the vision, or?
It's more of a vision. Obviously, we know what we look like before we have kids, and then, you know, we can always think we can go back to that. And a lot of my motivation is actually strength. And every time I'm strength training, I literally think to myself, what if I have to pull a car off my child? And that for me is a bigger motivator than weight loss ever was. And I recently lost my father-in-law this past year to alcoholism. And I saw what it's like if you don't take care of yourself. And what does your 50s and 60s look like if you don't take care of yourself in your 30s and 40s? And that scared the shit out of me. And I don't want my kids to have to take care of my ailing body when I am 60 years old. And so I really made a commitment to myself of being the healthiest I can be for my children, because it's not fair to do anything otherwise.
Yeah, no, 100%. And as you're going through this journey, did you take pictures like before and then every so often take pictures so that you can like refer back to it?
Like personal pictures, like I probably wouldn't ever show anybody.
Yeah, I'm not asking for you to show it on the show. I was wondering.
Yeah.
Because the reason I'm asking this is because some people don't, and then they, but then other people do it every week, one every 2 weeks or whatever. So you can see a transgression. You know what I mean? Transformation.
Yeah. I wish I had taken more, maybe, but part of me, the other part of me is like, I'm not a before and after. I am always the same person every single day. And if that fluctuates, that fluctuates. However, I do, you know, again, I'm thinking about like being on a beach in Tahiti and I look at past pictures of myself and I'm like, I didn't really realize I was that big. And now I'm like, I don't want to look at pictures from this huge like life trip that we're going on and look back and be like, I hate the way I look in those pictures. Yeah. I really don't want to regret that.
It's so much better. I have the same thing. Like I've been bigger and I've had so many times too where we're like, I put all this work in and I'm like, damn, I looked good in that picture. But then there's other ones where like, I didn't realize I was that fat. So
always, I'm always like, I have a very unique personality, high self-esteem. I always think I look good no matter what, but now I'm looking back at the picture. I'm like, I didn't really realize I was that big, you know?
Yeah. It's wild, man. All right. So fasting, have you studied fasting, practice fasting, preach fasting? Promote it? What are your thoughts on whether it's,
I'm not like a preacher, but I am a follower for sure. And again, that just works better with my lifestyle. For so long, everyone's like, you have to eat breakfast. You have to eat breakfast. I hate eating breakfast. I can't stand it. And once I realized that intermittent fasting could really fall into that. Now I do drink coffee on my fast, but I usually do like a 16 to 18 hour fast. And I just prefer it. I hate cooking. My husband's a chef. If he doesn't like cook the food for me and put it in the fridge, I'll just not eat. I'd rather not eat. I hate cooking. I hate it. So if I could take one meal off the table and just eat twice a day and be done with it, it works good for my lifestyle.
So you do it daily, 16 to 18 hours.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So my wife was just talking. We just had a conversation today, this morning. And she's like, I hate trying to figure out what to eat three times, four times a day. I hate it. I hate it. And she goes, if I could just take a pill and I didn't have to eat. And I'm like, yeah, but what about all the good food that we eat? She's like, yeah, once in a while. But my thing is that I sometimes, like right now, I'm doing a 3-day water fast. Okay. I just, today's the first day. I've done this before. I never made it 3 days though. I always get a headache at day two.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to, every time I do this, I try to go a little bit further beyond, right? Yeah. Where I did the last time. But I felt like at times there's a control, food has a control over you. And also you don't realize how much you make eating an event that you look forward to. And you don't realize it until you fast, you know, like, no, I can't eat. Absolutely. We can't go out tonight because I'm doing a water fast. I can't do it. You know, so, and also there's so much that comes along with that. So, have you done a long period fast like that, like 3-5 days or anything like that?
I haven't gotten myself up to it yet. No, I have little kids. Like, honestly, I don't even know if I could. If say I got a massive headache, what am I going to do? I'm home with the kids all day long. I can't just scream at them and tell them to shut up, you know?
Yeah.
I wish.
Yeah. It does. It gets like, it for me, it's like a temple to forehead headache. And I'm hoping that like the more I do this over periods of time, it's going to like extend outward.
Right.
But it's just, And you don't really, when you're like on an empty stomach, you really don't want to take ibuprofen if you can help it. So
right, exactly. I don't
know, are you able to have cannabis on a fast?
So I was wearing a CGM for a while and fasting, and the cannabis never, ever impacted my blood sugar ever.
Really? Was that, it was a patch?
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. Man, this is cool stuff. I got to learn more about this. So CBD, what about CBD oils like tinctures, like the ones that have that? What are they good for?
You know, so CBD, I like to tell people, is like your daily multivitamin. It's not something you take once and you're like, oh, you don't take a vitamin D once. And you're like, wow, I feel so much better. It's a daily thing. And that's really hard for people because when they think of cannabis, they think it should make me feel some type of way. Well, CBD doesn't. And CBD, I like to tell people, is like the opposite. It's what you don't feel. It's the absence of anxiety. It's the absence of inflammation. And it's really hard to quantify that. So I always tell people, if you're going to try CBD, especially like an oil like that, really make a commitment to do it for 30 days and then assess how you feel. Because here and there, like taking it once in a while, it doesn't really do much for people. I am a firm believer it needs to be a really consistent thing, especially if you're trying to target something like inflammation or anxiety.
Gotcha. All right, cool. So now I want to talk about podcasting because I understand you have a podcast. And I guess, first of all, what's that podcast called?
It's called the Well with Cannabis Podcast.
All right. Well with Cannabis Podcast. And how long have you been doing it?
I have just wrapped up my first season. We ended up with 58 episodes, and my goodness, it was a ride. I enjoyed it so much, but it was so much work too. So it was like a little, you know, good and bad.
Yeah. And what have, do you notice like something change or added to your life and business from when you first started to when you, where you are now with having a podcast?
I definitely realize like part of my business, the way it works is it's very easy for me to be behind the scenes. And I love the fact that podcasting can give me an opportunity to be on video and to talk to people and to kind of get my personality out there. You know, so much is hidden behind like the online, and I like letting my personality shine and talking about cannabis with people. So I think that was my absolute favorite, of just letting people get to see me and know me more on a personal level rather than just kind of like the robot computer level.
Yeah. And how about going on as a guest on podcasts besides today? Is this something that you've like made a regular occurrence for yourself?
Yeah. And I will say, I like being a guest on podcasts so much more than actually hosting my podcast. As much as I like hosting it, I just love when people ask me like questions and I can answer them about cannabis. And afterwards, I always remind myself, I'm like, you really do know your stuff. Like, you know all the things about cannabis. Like, you're good. It's good. So I enjoy being a guest. So thank you for having me.
Yeah, no. And you know, the funny thing is, like, when I sit on panels and I speak a lot, but I'll sit on panels sometimes, right? And then people do Q&As or whatever. Same thing. Like, I forget how much I actually know about business, yeah. Performance.
Yeah.
It's just so crazy because, like, you read, like, I make a habit of reading. I listen to podcasts, but I really dive into studying different things. And I do it like you're talking about with CBD. I do it on a daily basis. Like it's like my supplements, yeah. Multivitamin. But you don't realize how much you absorb until you're called out to do it. And then sometimes I'm just like, where the heck did that come from? You know? So I love that. Yeah. So you definitely have it, and more people need to hear from you for sure. Cause some people, you know, they're just not good on camera. They're just not good on being interviewed, but like you do have it. And I would lean into that part. Because I think I was telling you, I've done over 900 and some podcasts now, and I know what to look for and I know what it's done for me being not just my show. Okay. My show is one thing, but being a guest is totally something separate. Yeah. And it has been unbelievable. So lean into it for sure, Emily.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for being here, Emily. Appreciate it. Hang tight for a second. Guys, thank you so much for being here and listening. Please subscribe. Rate, you know what to do. Share this to your friends, associates about the What Are You Made Of show. Introduce them to your boy, C-Rock, if they haven't heard of me, because I want to just create unstoppable people to live in the life of their dreams. And I know most people want that. So help me out by doing that. And also go check out That One Merch at thatonemerch.com. You can get hoodies, hats, and t-shirts and start wearing and stepping into being that one. And until next time, it's your boy, C-Rock, signing off. Be that one.
Licensing reimagined.